Welcome to Prostate Cancer and You, a podcast produced by the Massachusetts Prostate Cancer Coalition, whose mission it is to educate, connect, and support men at risk, newly diagnosed individuals, survivors, and their families. It also connects organizations and professionals who seek to conquer and cure prostate cancer. I'm your host, Jordan Rich. On today's episode, I'll be talking with Dr. Jean Joseph, Chairman of the Department of Urology at the University of Rochester Medical Center, with a vast amount of successful experience with robotic surgery in the treatment of prostate cancer. The use of such surgery was approved by the FDA in the mid-1990s, and there have been many strides made since. But Dr. Joseph, let's start things off with an explanation of what urologic robotic surgery is all about.
So, robotic surgery, to be clear, it is not a robot doing the operation. It is a surgeon who has technology that's placed at her or his fingers, and whatever the surgeon does is replicated inside the patient. The surgeon doing the procedure, however, the technology enhances the surgeon's skills, i.e. enhances the precision, enhances the movement. So it's been a great evolution. Back when it was first approved by the FDA, it took a while for us to adopt it as a community, but pretty much right now in urology, almost every procedure that we have has been done robotically. In certain areas, such as prostate surgery, it's become the standard standard of care. The robotic approach has replaced open surgery pretty much universally in our discipline. And for bladder cancer, for kidney cancer, when the robot was first developed, it was developed primarily thinking of cardiac surgery. That's how the company began. In fact, if you look at some of the robotic tools right now, many of them have a little heart on them symbolizing what the company was going after. The robot found its first success in the prostate because prostate surgery is a very common procedure. And it's a procedure that's very high stakes where potential complications are there. So we are always looking as to how we can improve patient outcome, lessen side effects. Patients want things fixed, but they don't want complications. They don't want side effects. Nobody does. So robotic surgery has helped improve outcomes by allowing us to do a very precise operation. And a lot of cases, as is required, we can spare vital structures that help eliminate side effects, which are significant. So the goal of surgery is to get the intervention done and have the patient forget about it. How does patient forget about a surgery is by not having side effects or complications.
The idea of less invasive surgery, I don't think there's anybody opposed to that who's going under the knife, doctor.
That's correct. We want to get back to our normal lives. And the goal, when I look at a patient, I'm looking at the individual about to do the operation on, is the question I ask myself is, how do I return you to normalcy? And let's define normalcy. The less invasive the procedure, the faster to normalcy is really what we're after.
But how widespread is the technology? How available is it, say, beyond the borders of New York and Massachusetts and elsewhere?
We at the in Rochester were among the first to adopt the technology. But Massachusetts has also been at the fore. Early on, there were surgeons in Massachusetts who approached laparoscopy, which began with laparoscopy. Just to explain that a little bit, laparoscopy is really the surgeons holding the actual instrument in the hands, and you place little ports or opening in that are dime-sized opening. Less actually, to pass an instrument, you would stand there at the patient's bedside and perform the operation. Robotic surgery is an evolution from laparoscopy, where the surgeons get to be at a console where the surgeon sits and the heads are placed in what looks like almost like a microscope. You can call it that. There is much magnification, and you get a 3D view of the anatomy. And it's very much immersive surgery. You feel like you are inside the patient, except you are at the bedside. You're kind of removed from the bedside a few feet away performing the operation. You allow an assistant at the bedside to exchange instruments for you as appropriate. It is the technology that involves filters, tremor. We all have a tremor. Some of it is in folks, as you have Parkinson's, advanced Parkinson's disease, that's one extreme. But in normal life, to go from put your finger as far as possible and touching your nose, it's not a straight line consistently. But the technology makes it, lessens the tremor to go from A to B. That is certainly part of ensuring the precision, and the 3D magnification allows good anatomical recognition. And the other aspect of it also, when the field is magnified, you're looking, a drop of blood looks like a pool of blood, so you're quick to stop that bleeder, the blood vessel that's bleeding. So that results in less blood loss, less transfusion. Less transfusion, better recovery for that patient, and lessen potential side effects of transfusion also.
So for those patients who have thought about surgery and have been scared off for obvious reasons because of what they've heard in the past and so forth, not that it's revolutionary now because it's been in play, but this is a wonderful step forward in technology, isn't it?
It is. Obviously, our goal in medicine is to have it on aspirin or a pill that somebody can take. But we can't provide a pill for everything that is problematic to a patient. So when a person needs an intervention, we want to make it as non-invasive as possible. Surgery, of course, intervention is stressful to the patient and the family. When they hear of potential side effects, when it comes to prostate surgery, for example, sometimes men hear about urinary incontinence issue or sexual function issues. I mean, those are big, these things are big deal, obviously. The goal is to lessen all side effects to really ease the decision-making process for a patient, for him to say, I've got this problem, let's get rid of it. I want to go back to work in such and such time, and I'll move on with my life. That's the goal.
Mm-hmm. Is there an evolution that you're seeing now in the technology? In other words, what's the next step from where we are? How can they improve on what's already pretty darn impressive?
Yeah, over the last couple of decades, we've seen different upgrades, enhancement in the technology. As it's become available, the company has included it to augment our senses. And what we've seen more recently, further steps to decrease the invasiveness. For example, open surgery is done to long incision. But for robotic, we make many small opening the size of a dime just to, if you imagine you place the cannula, a pen, and the inside of the pen is where we pass the instrument in and out. So now we've evolved from having multi-port robot, many ports, many small opening, to one opening where all the instruments are placed in one opening. So that's involved miniaturization. The instruments are much smaller, much more refined. So that's been a big evolution. So we're doing single-port surgery. Many centers have adopted single-port robotic surgery for a number of things that we do that we used to use multi-port robot for. There's a new upgrade done recently in the robot where they actually what's called force feedback. Just to backtrack for a moment, the robotic surgery we do, it's all mostly visual. You can see the tissue and the tension you're putting on it and so on, but having the feeling, the force feedback when you're stretching the tissue. So that's been added recently. So that's a big evolution to really put it at our fingertips, every aspect of it. And I anticipate further evolution down the road to have more information on the tissue that we're working on. How much stretch we get that from proprioception, but what is the level of oxygen in that tissue? And how much tension do you have on that tissue to have that quantify? So I see more technology enhancing what we do and augmenting our senses to really appreciate every aspect of that tissue we are operating on to ensure the tissue is not traumatized, again, with the goal of decreased invasiveness.
Dr. Joseph, we thank you for your time. Any final thoughts about the advances in surgery for prostate cancer?
They're life-changing. You tell anyone they're about to have surgery, it's life-changing. Because telling someone they have cancer, they think this thing is coming down crashing. But when you can tell them that, hey, we have a lot of experience in this procedure, this is a great way to get you back to normal. That is what makes them sleep at night. But the fact is that it's a very common procedure that's performed worldwide. For prostate in particular, it is the standard of care. And folks in the Northeast have been at the fore of it. And I think the key is to seek an experience center. And there are many in the Northeast where there are great surgeons. As long as the patient relates well to that team, that's really what's going to get you the results.
Once again, our thanks to Dr. Jean Joseph, Chairman of the Department of Urology at the University of Rochester Medical Center. We invite you to stay tuned to future podcasts featuring valuable information and resources, the latest in research and treatment, and stories of real people who have challenged prostate cancer and won. To learn more about the Massachusetts Prostate Cancer Coalition and to hear the Prostate Cancer in You podcast, again, go to masspcc.org. That's masspcc.org. You can also listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, and with all Android players. I'm Jordan Rich, wishing you a fabulous day.